I'd like to welcome you to the August 27th, 2025 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having special historical culture or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of our association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the Commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The Commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance, items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the Commission's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. And let's start with signposting. Members of the Commission receive an electronic agenda the week before the meetings and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any projects not properly posted this month? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officers to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a commissioner who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Mr. Chair, Scott Krotzer, I would like to make a motion to move consent agenda number one to the regular agenda at the end.
Okay. Do we have a motion to do that?
Can I move on a second?
Okay. Let's do a vote. Let's start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, yes.
Scott Krotzer, yes.
Katrina Hornung, yes.
Courtney Bonney, yes.
Ann Miller, yes.
Pat Richardson, yes.
Okay, Jeff Notriga, yes. So that carries. We will remove item number one from the consent agenda and put it at the end of the regular agenda. Are there any other items on the consent agenda that need to be addressed? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the revised consent agenda?
Katrina Horning, I make a motion to approve the revised consent agenda.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Okay, let's take that to a vote. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Levana, yay.
Scott Krotzer, yes.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
And I approve. Hearing approval, we will consider the consent agenda adopted. Next, we will go on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the August 27th, 2025 HPC agenda?
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we approve the August 27, 2025 agenda as printed.
Pam Miller, I second.
Okay, let's take that to a vote. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
All right, motion carries. Next, minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? If not, may I get a motion to adopt the minutes from the previous meeting?
Katrina Horner, I make a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Scott Richardson, approve. Second.
Second.
So let's go to a vote. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Levana, approve.
Scott Kreutzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Okay, so noted, the motion carries. Let's see, is there anything to be removed? There's nothing requested to be removed. We have the continued agenda. There are items that have been continued, deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete as of this time. I'd like to get a motion to go with the continued agenda.
Scott Kreutzer, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda items number 11 through 18.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Excellent. I'd like to put that to vote. Kathy?
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Kreutzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Excellent. Motion carries. Now we are on to the, there are no requests for extensions, so we will go on to the regular agenda. Let's start with a petition of Martin and Catherine Pantic, 25-003309 COA, 525 East Anderson Street, new construction, accessory building parts 1 and 2, and rehabilitation and alterations.
Afternoon, this is Kelly Mitchell. Again, this is an application for 525 East Anderson Street. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small part 1 and 2 for accessory building and for selective rehabilitation work at this property. As y'all may remember, this project was heard last month, but was continued to address staff's concerns as well as commission's concerns. Since the previous meeting, staff has worked with the applicant to address all the concerns. So I'm just going to go through each condition that was put on the continuance and then say how it was met. So with that, the first condition was to utilize a more compatible roof form on the accessory dwelling unit. After the previous meeting, staff went back to evaluate the context and the roof form again. When looking at the context, staff did find 3 structures with similar roof forms. One is 214 through 216 East Anderson. This is technically a pitched roof with a parapet, but it reads as a flat roof with a parapet from the street. There's 1002 Drayton, which has this one-story section right here that has a flat roof with a parapet. And then 320 East 31st, which has some flat or low pitched roof forms on the sides. So given that staff found examples of similar roof forms in this area, staff finds that a flat roof on this accessory building is appropriate in this case. The second condition was to find evidence that the corbels existed previously on the building. As was mentioned at the previous meeting, an image from a previous staff survey, a staff state survey, shows the corbels on the home. Staff couldn't find any other historic photos of the building. So in this case, staff finds this to be sufficient for the corbels to be put back on the home. The third condition was to increase the pitch at the rear porch. When staff looked at the porch again, staff reevaluated the proposed roof pitch. The rear deck will be minimally visible from Anderson Street, and it'll be obscured from the lane due to the ADU as well as the proposed fence. So this little section right here will be about where that fence will be if you're looking at it from Anderson Street. Given that it'll be minimally visible, staff finds in this case the low roof pitch is appropriate. Staff requested confirmation for the materials for post siding and porch columns. The enclosed porch in the rear of the home will use fiber cement board, where the siding on the ADU will use composite siding. We do have a sample to pass around in a minute for the composite siding. Staff found in this case it could be appropriate because this is a non-contributing building and the siding looks very similar to hardy board. The porch columns will also be constructed of wood. The applicant did update the plan, so it no longer says fiberglass for those columns. Staff also requested that the applicant provide a sample of the 5V cramp polycarbonate, which is what we proposed use on this rear porch or deck element. The material will be translucent, and there's a sample as well on the table. We'll pass around in a minute. In this case, staff did find this to be appropriate because it is on the rear of the building on a relatively small feature and will likely be minimally visible from the public right away. If somebody in the future requests a similar material, we will really evaluate and reevaluate based on the context. The sixth condition was for the applicant to provide material information for select elements. All that was provided and listed in the staff report. All the materials meet the standards. The seventh condition was to provide information on the repurposed windows. That's right here. So that repurposed window currently exists as a paired window. So one of the paired windows is being removed, but the other is being retained. So in this case, staff finds that meets the standards because that window is existing. We did ask also for additional information on that side gate that will be connecting with the neighboring property. This is the proposed design. It will be made of wrought iron, which meets the standards. The applicant also provided written confirmation from the neighbor that this is okay because the gate will be partially on the neighbor's property. So we want to make sure there's no conflict with them over that. Ninth condition was to add additional windows on the first floor of the ADU if visible from Anderson. With the proposed fence, that first floor would not be visible, so that standard does not apply at this time. And the final condition was to reconfigure this porch element on the accessory dwelling unit. When reviewing the project again for this meeting, staff found an example of a similar configuration on Duffy Lane. This is a contributing outbuilding to the district. So since there was an example in the district, staff found that proposed porch design does meet the standards in this case. And just kind of a note that it's kind of some changes that were made from the previous meeting while reviewing the project. Staff realized that this rear deck element was actually encroaching into the side setback. So we contacted the applicant and they were willing to pull it in so that the setback is met on the side. And this did cause some changes to these rear doors. Staff finds that in this case, it is appropriate. She's on the rear. It will be minimally visible. So with that, staff does recommend approval of the new construction and the selective rehabilitation work at 525 East Anderson Street as requested. The applicant is here as well if you have any questions for them. That, does the commission have any questions? It's kind of a lot of information. So,
any questions from any commissioners of staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon, this is Martin Pantic. We work with the staff and we hopefully answered some of the concerns and, we hope that we can move forward with the project. If you have any questions, glad to answer.
Thank you, Martin. Are there any questions of board members? Okay.
Yes. Here. Oh, I'm sorry. Courtney Bonney, I guess going back to the roof on the accessory dwelling portion, the examples again that you guys have provided are ones that have a pitched roof that reads as a flat roof. I guess my question is, you know, is there a particular reason that you're not wanting to have that slight pitch on there? Because, I mean, just from rain and, you know, drainage standpoint, you're probably going to be a little bit better off having some sort of slope there rather than a flat roof.
So a flat roof clearly does have a slope, but it's concealed within the parapet wall. So, you know, commercially, this is, or residentially, this is a typical approach. I hope to not have any issues with it.
Any other questions of commissioners? Okay, we don't seem to have any public comments, so at this time I will close it and go into board discussion. We will start with Patricia. Do you have any comments?
Pat Richardson, no comments.
Pam Miller, I agree with staff recommendations.
Courtney Bonney, no additional comments.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Scott Crosser, I agree with staff and commend the effort that was taken. It shows real love for this property, and I think this is the kind of design standards we should hold. So if staff's worked through it, I agree with staff.
Kathleen Rana, I still have a problem with the tabby. Tabby applied stucco is, again, nostalgic. It's not really traditional. It's more than likely you weren't going to – it wouldn't have been used in Victorian District. In this, especially in this circumstance, so I have a problem with the tabby applied stucco, but if nobody else does.
If I may, Martin Pantic, there's an image that we uploaded, and I know I used a Costco card for scale. It's very subtle, tabby. It almost is imperceptible. It is somewhat nostalgic, I agree with you, but it isn't something like you would see these big shells that just scream at you. So that was my approach there.
Thank you very much. Can I get a motion?
Scott Krotzer, I would like to make a motion to approve as submitted. 1 second. 525 East Anderson Street, 25-003309-COA. Because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Thank you. Having a motion and seconded, let's take it to a vote. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Now we're on to in the Kyler Brownville District, petition of Vardin Kasimyan, I hope I got that right, 25-003766-COA, 10213 6th Street, new construction parts 1 and 2.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So today, the petitioner is requesting approval for a new construction of a two-story duplex residence on a previously recombined lot that is 48 by 100 feet in dimensions in the Kyler Brownsville Local Historic District. So I'll start by trying to establish the location and context. What we see over here at the red mark is where the site is. As you can see, it's between Vici and 36. The buildings that you see behind are the contributing buildings in the neighborhood, and I'll go on to show the design that is being proposed. Let us use the plan to understand the compliance in terms of setbacks and boundaries. The staff has found that it's compliant completely in terms of the setbacks and boundaries, and the elevation we see over there, staff wants to bring the notice that there is a adjacent building that is shown for reference for how the immediate adjacent building is in terms of height. And coming to the findings, so according to TR1 standards, duplex use is permitted. The lot size and width are compliant. The lot coverage, the setbacks are compliant, but the proposed height of 38 feet 4 inches exceeds the 36 feet maximum allowed height in the district. So it is non-compliant in that, and we have been in touch with the petitioner the whole time, and they've been quite proactive in communicating with us and being willing to adjust that. So they have a presentation also to make based on certain updated changes, but this report is based off of the information we had while working on the report. And coming to the visual compatibility, height and massing reads to be nearly 3 stories in height because of the pitch of the roof, and in a visually one single story context, and all the contributing buildings being single story kind of sets what the expectation is in terms of visual compatibility. And the 48 feet width, considering this is a recombined lot, it does break the rhythm of the width of these lots. But again, that along with the verticality of the project is what is affecting the scale that is perceived, and hence the visual compatibility. And the roof itself, it's a steep gable, and I understand it's trying to be a more occupiable roof. which is what is leading to the height it is. But the fact that it looks to be three stories is of concern. And the porch meets the standards. Windows and doors, materials are not specified, and the staff has not yet received adequate information to take a call on the visual compatibility in terms of the design standards or the materials used, the specifications. But purely aspect ratio-wise, it is compliant, but we need require more information on the details, the materials, the standards for the openings, the shutters, et cetera. So staff recommendation is to continue the request for new construct for the new construction, small parts 1 and 2 on the vacant parcel located at 1021 West 36th Street to the September meeting. The proposed new construction as submitted raises unresolved concerns under the TR1 zoning standards, that is the height as discussed, and fails to demonstrate compliance with few of the Kyler Brownsville Historic District design standards as mentioned. Specifically, the height and massing are not visually compatible with the adjacent contributing resources, and insufficient information has been provided regarding materials, windows, doors, porches, and ornamentation to allow a full review of part 1 and 2 combined as part of this construction. Continuance will allow the petitioner the opportunity to, 1, revise the building height and comply with the TR1 standards, that is 36 feet, and 2, to provide sufficient architectural details or material specifications for us to be able to confirm compliance. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Kathy Labana,
I had a question. There were several, we had discussions prior that lots were not able to be combined in some historic districts. Is this not one of those districts?
Hey, Caitlin here. I believe this was a recombination that was done by ZBA, but since it's not in the downtown district, it doesn't go through a historic review. But it was recombined legally.
Thank you.
Caitlin, can I ask a question real quick about that then? This is Pam Miller. I know that even in my neighborhood, since we have the conservation overlay, you can't recombine lots. So is that something that is some places
I think there's a couple, two of the conservation districts, so the Kensington and then Carver Village both have one of those rules of like you can't recombine lots.
I think
the zoning for TR1 is allowable. So
thank you.
Any other questions of staff? Okay, is the petitioner here?
I do have someone online who is identifying as a petitioner for this. I'm going to unmute the person. The name is Erman.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing? My name is Erman. Good morning, everyone. So basically, we talked to the staff prior today about the height of the proposed building. It was 38 feet 4 inches. We reduced the pitch to 4 to 12, and now the height is 30 foot 6 inches. We already sent the updated plans to the staff for review. If you want, I can show it. I have it open. Oh, you have it there too. So yeah, we figured out the height issue. Because of the lot is 48 feet, as you said, and is wider than the other lots. So anyhow we will try to fill as much as possible on the property to get as much of square footage as possible. And in this case, it's going to look bigger and wider than the other houses on the surrounding neighborhood. The same is with the height. It's going to look higher because everything is one story. But on this zone, the two stories are allowed, so I don't see an issue there. I can provide all the information about the materials and windows and all you need. If possible, we'd like to get a conditional approval with condition to provide all the materials for the proposed project. Thank you very much.
Okay, do any board members have questions of the petitioner?
Kathy Labina. Can you please describe the vertical siding you're proposing?
It's going to be either wood siding, real wood siding, or it's going to be hardy bucker, which is like cement kind of stuff for the reliability. It's going to be 4 inches wide and 4 inches wide vertical siding with a little gap in between.
Is there going to be a vertical overlap?
And there is going to be no vertical overlap. So basically around the floor between the first and the second floor, we're going to have a black siding that is going to go through around the building, wrapping it around. And all the sides have just vertical siding going from the base of the floor to the ceiling height of the floor. And it's just vertical siding.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any public comments. Are there any other questions for staff or for the petitioner? Okay, hearing none, let's close this to board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff's recommendations on this one. I feel like there's not enough information to move forward on some of the items.
Yeah, Miller, no comment at this time.
Courtney, Bonnie, I think in addition to the earlier concerns about the massing, I think another thing that needs to be reconsidered is just the overall patterning of the windows and doors. It feels very much like the floor plan, you know, drove the exterior of the building. So I think at this point, too, there need to be precedent photos of historic duplexes and how they're patterned and laid out, because I just feel like the elevations of these don't make a whole lot of sense when looking at examples of historic duplexes that exist around town, especially like how close some of the windows are to the door openings. And I feel like the patterning and design of the elevations needs to be reconsidered and regulated in some way, because the rhythms to me feel really, really odd. So I think that's something that needs to be reexamined.
Katrina Horning, I agree with Courtney's statement about the rhythm of the windows. I think that needs to be reexamined. I am concerned. I know that we talked about the height being at a 36, but I still feel like with the precedent of this neighborhood that the width of this building may be a bit oversized for the scale of the surrounding context of the buildings.
Yeah, I agree with the previous comments, and I agree with staff recommendation.
Kathy Levina, I definitely agree with the massing and the height. The height needs to be brought down. It could be simply through the roof, the slope of the roof. The rhythm of solids to voids needs to be further designed. I'm not sure if the west elevation, if that's 30% transparency. And the windows, I think they're drawn wrong because they certainly have this vertical feel versus a horizontal feel. The size of the windows, I think they need to be better in proportion to the height of the structure as well. They appear short, but maybe that's just because they're drawn vertically versus horizontally. I'm just not sure. I think that the drawings really need to be better detailed. And I am still questioning about the vertical siding versus a horizontal siding. That's a lot of vertical siding. It's not an accent. You're looking at a vertical, you know, the entire facade is vertical versus horizontal. I agree with the continuation.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I have a comment, a question, yes, real quick. This is both to the staff and the petitioner. If we move to continue this, does the staff and the petitioner think that a 1 month, or should we put it out? I mean, this seems like a lot to have to accomplish. Two? Okay, thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion on the floor?
This is Pam Miller. I move the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Vardhan Kasamayan, 25003766 COA, 1021 West 36th Street, New Constructions Part 1 and 2, date certain of October 22nd, 2025.
That Richardson,
Okay. Because of the need for the continuance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Okay, having a motion and seconded, let's take it to a vote. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Levana, approve.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Dentrick approves. The motion carries. Thank you. We will now go to the Streetcar District and the petition of 39th Street Development LLC, 25000936 COA, 403 West 39th Street, contributing demolition, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to demolish a fire-damaged contributing resource located at 403 West 39th Street. The application also includes plans for new construction of a quadplex on the site if the demolition is approved. So this had come to you all last month. This was a fire-damaged property. And just to kind of go over a little recap, last month, the commission decision was to continue the request to allow the applicant time to address the mass and height of the contributing building on the block, including context drawings and renderings. The applicant provided updated drawings that now include the context of the contributing building at 409 West 39th Street. So this is the existing contributing structure, the only one on this block. And at the time, that's still like intact and functioning. So this would be the proposed new structures in context on the streetscape facing the park. The height of the new construction has also been lowered by 2 feet to be visibly shorter than the historic resource. Neighborhood context was also provided, showing a variety of contributing and non-contributing buildings, both residential and commercial. The map denotes the locations of the corresponding photos included and does detail the heights of those buildings to show the range within this area. So this was just kind of an overview. They were all numbered and have corresponding spots on the map. So just as previously, last month, staff found that, you know, the new construction met the standards, and that through the demolition review, based on the status of the building and the fact that the city had condemned it because of its condition, that, you know, in a case like this, that could be supported to the demolition request. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the request to demolish the contributing building at 403 West 39th Street, with the following conditions, because the demolition criteria are met. So one, if it's feasible to explore whether the building can be deconstructed rather than traditional demolition, and the materials salvaged for reuse where possible, because it may not be for much of that. And then document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition, and approve the request for new construction at the property located at 403 West 39th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Any members of the board have questions for staff?
Mr. Chair, Scott Kratzer, is the applicant amenable to the deconstruction suggestion?
We can check. We had sort of talked about it, and, you know, it sounded like they may be, but just given the condition of the building, it may just be dependent on what's doable. I don't know if the petitioner on the demolition side of it is online, Janet Lewis, but she may be able to answer that too.
You'd be surprised at how much is hidden there when it comes to the old growth lumber that is in there. That would be my first question. And second, we can approve one and not the other. And if that was to happen, I know they're conjoined, but not, is there some sort of ordinance that would make them do something to the other property, or is it going to sit in like it is now and basically disintegrate to the point where we have to knock it down?
So there's the code compliance would get involved. So other city departments would be involved in ensuring that was not just sitting as a blighted property. But to answer your question, 403 and then the following 407 don't exist in tandem. They are independent projects. So you'll be making two decisions.
Okay.
Kathy LeBinet, I understand that the height was reduced. Was the width reduced as well?
I believe so. Let's see if we can have the petitioner clarify that, but I believe that it was. Just trying to get to the earlier drawings. If it will cooperate with us. Okay. There we go. But yeah, we can certainly make sure that's confirmed through the petitioner.
Courtney Bonney, do you have any, I see they reduced the height and you have a comparison from the front elevation. Is there also a drawing that indicates the length of this building compared to the one, there's, you know, the two other on the street? Because again, I think my main concern here is just the length and massing of this building compared to the context ones, that it is still going to be much larger than what else is happening. And the other two buildings along that street also had back porches, I think.
Well, again, you know, if I would defer some of this to the petitioner, but I was just trying to get the site plan up for that. But as we're going through, you can see this is this interesting block where you've got some commercial peppered in with the housing. All right. So it looks like there will, I guess we don't have the historic building on there, but there is, you know, there is space in the rear that will be parking. So I mean, it's not like it's going the whole length of the lot.
Are there any other questions of staff? Okay, do we have the petitioner here?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris. I'm with Ethos Preservation. I'm representing the new construction side of this project. Just to answer a few of your questions, yes, the overall height was reduced. The overall width remained the same. However, the design changed a bit to help to try to break up the massing by adding, as you can see here, a recess in the front to try to break that up. One thing I wanted to mention that staff noted earlier, and I don't know if it was just my fault for not labeling it correctly, but at the last meeting you all asked for more neighborhood context and the width of, I know width and height were both a concern for you. So the diagram that we came up with, let me, if I can find it real quick, sorry, looking at other properties that you see here, this one. I'll just zoom in. This is not height. This is not measuring height. It's measuring width. So what, just driving around the neighborhood, I found a number of both contributing and non-contributing resources that were very similar in terms of width. And what my sort of takeaway after driving around was that there was so much variety in this neighborhood, both in terms of use. There's institutional uses, there's commercial uses, there's residential uses, there's single family residents, there's duplexes, there's triplexes, there's quadruplexes all throughout the neighborhood. And so it's really, there's just really a lot of diversity. But most of all, I noticed that what seemed to be dictating the width of the buildings was the width of the lots more than anything else. So where there were larger lots, there were larger buildings. And on this block, it is, these are a little bit larger lots than you typically see. But we do only have one contributing building on the lot. Both of these quadplexes are going to be on the interior of the lot. So if those exterior corners on MLK and Montgomery were to be built out, the visibility as far as the depth of the buildings go would be very limited. It would really be only visible from the lane. And keep in mind also that, you know, there's only one contributing building on the block. So it's not like there's an established historic pattern or context on this particular block, but there is. So we looked to the wider neighborhood to determine that better context. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. Mr. Kotzer, you had asked about the
Were you guys amicable to?
Yeah, we're absolutely open to that. That's perfectly fine.
Okay. And on the drawings, I noticed maybe they were from older sets. In the recess part, on one set of the drawing, there were windows over the doors, and then another version, there wasn't.
So we included both sets of drawings so that you could compare. On the newer set of drawings, there's not windows. On the older set, there was. I personally, if you all want to make a recommendation to include those again, I think we'd welcome that.
Yeah, I think the windows would be needed.
Any other questions? Okay, we don't seem to have any comments from the audience, so we'll go ahead and close this to a board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Yeah, Miller, no comment.
Courtney Bonney, I appreciate the kind of discussion about the width. Again, I think my concern is just the massing and the depth. I think you know, if a little bit more design on the back end of the property, maybe to bring some of that scaling down a little bit and help to visually break up just the scale of the depth, I think would help a lot, and kind of bringing it down just a little bit until, you know, such a time that there is more infill construction. So, you know, I think that there's been a lot of progress on the design and the scaling and how this feels compared to the first presentation, but I feel like there can be a little bit more work done to help with just, especially them being side to side and reading as a single structure. There needs to be more articulation of the massing and breaking up them as that single visual block.
Katrina Hornung, I just wanted to say that I thought that the effort to lower the height and to break up the massing was very thoughtful, and I found it very elegant, and thank you to the petitioner.
Scott Crosser, I again agree with the great work that's been done in trying to reduce the scale, but also agree with some of Courtney's comments about breaking up the mass, which maybe the addition of the windows in the front facade and the recess would help. But also, I agree with the back area, maybe a back porch or some sort of differentiation from just a large-scale wall would help break that mass up, since it is so visible currently. And we have no guarantees of what would actually be built next door. I will also bring up the fact that this is loss of two historic structures, possibly within a block that only has three. And from a background of severe loss, I would just caution, although we do need the housing and we do need the development, maybe there can be some sort of middle ground that would actually save the other property, I'm not sure. But in context, the property that we're speaking about now has the most historic documentation provided from Ethos about it, which gives me more context historically as to what this house was and who lived there. So those are the only points I think that the commission should weigh.
Kathy Labana, I agree with both Scott and Courtney. I do have great concern about the demolition of a contributing building when there are so few on the block. It's a one-story building. I do believe you could rebuild this. There are some salvageable aspects. And looking at the history and the neighborhood, I really think that they continue to be contributing buildings to that neighborhood.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a recommendation from a motion from one of our members of the board? Somebody like to make a motion?
Staff, yeah. We have to listen to, we have to vote on this one before we can vote on.
Yeah, they're separate projects, so it's one at a time.
Could we hear from the petitioner again or have more discussion on that end?
Sure.
Ellen Harris again. I think we would be amenable to revising the depth in some way to incorporate a porch or some kind of transparent element on the back of it. And also to incorporate the windows on the front as requested deconstruction, sorry, my words escaped me for a second there. Deconstruction to see if that is feasible. I guess our only request would be, would you all be amenable to coming back for review at a staff level for those revisions to take place so that the project can move forward? Thank you.
Any other questions?
Is staff comfortable with that revision?
Yes. I'll give it a shot. Katrina Hornung. Give me one second. Where are we? I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition. Oh, wait, sorry. Approve the demolition and approve the new construction request. With the staff conditions 1, 2, as well as the addition of a porch in the rear and the windows in the recessed area of the front facade, as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry for petition. My bad. Petition for 403 West 39th Street, 25-000936-COA.
Pam Miller, a second.
Okay, having a motion and properly seconded, let's go to a vote. Let's start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine denied the demolition.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Hornung, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Let's go on to the next petition. The petition of 39th Street Development LLC, 25-000943-COA, 407 West 39th Street, contributing demolition, new construction, small, parts 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again presenting. The applicant is requesting approval to demolish a vacant contributing resource at 407 West 39th Street. The application also includes plans for new construction of a quadplex on site if the demolition is approved. So much like the previous, I won't go through the design again because it's the same type of building, same building. But I just wanted to specifically get into this building. So just a little background. There was a structural engineer's report done after the fire next door in June. What you're seeing is the result of, you know, it was already in not great shape to begin with, but the water from putting out the fire next door added some extra problems here, causing some of this collapse that's going on. So the structural engineer report noted the residence has multiple compromised portions of the exterior building envelope. The most significant structural issue is the total collapse of the rear of the building. These compromised portions exhibit both damage and deterioration to installed building materials. Additionally, there were observed instances of what appeared to be prior attempts to reinforce the original masonry foundation. These attempts appeared in disrepair and or inadequate, either through poor workmanship or degradation over time. So much like the one at 403, this was heard last month. And the same commission decision was to continue it to consider the height and mass of the contributing building on the block, including the drawings and renderings. So we've been over that, but just the specifics for the building. For the criteria for the demolition, what we look at for contributing buildings would be if the demolition is required to alleviate an immediate threat to public health or public safety, the condition of the property as is could be seen as an immediate threat to public health or safety because of the rapid increase in the building's deterioration. As of the writing of this report, the city had not issued a demolition order or condemned the building, but it remains an exposed vacant property that may be on the verge of collapse. Conversations with the property owner, he stated that there are people in this, you know, using the space and that it's just being kind of a spot for vandals and whatnot. So there is a concern with that as well. And then the other criteria is the relocation or demolition is required to avoid exceptional practical difficulty or undue hardship upon the owner of the property if all the following conditions are also satisfied. So then the applicant has provided evidence sufficient to demonstrate that the application of the standards of this section deprives the applicant of reasonable economic return on the subject property. Photographic evidence of the building and the structural engineer's reports show that it could be the case that the applicant would not receive a reasonable economic return on the subject property in its current condition. And second, the undue hardship is not of the property owner's own making. The undue hardship is not of the property owner's own making. Even before the water damage related to putting out the fire next door, the building had sat vacant for quite some time under previous ownership. No known attempts had been made for restoration. So this was all prior to the current owner. For extra conditions, staff's going to also recommend that rather than traditional demolition, the applicant explores whether it's feasible for the building to be deconstructed and the material salvaged for reuse where possible. Staff also recommends that the applicant documents the building as per the city's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition. So with that, we will go back to the recommendation here. Same as the previous one, approve the request to demolish the contributing building at 407 West 39th Street with the following conditions because the demolition criteria are met. One, if it's feasible, explore whether the building can be deconstructed rather than traditional demolition and materials salvaged for reuse where possible. And two, document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition. And approve the request for new construction at the property located at 407 West 39th Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Any questions of staff?
Sorry, Pam Miller. Do we have any other photos of that building, like interior or other sides? It seems like we mostly have just the part where it's collapsed.
We do have... There were some submitted before the fire, or the, you know, the whole situation on both buildings. And that would be, I think it's in here. No, no, it's in one of these. All right, so we have a few here.
So that's a current. Can you slow down just a little bit?
This was, I think the front is current, but there might be some interior photos prior to the collapse. So you can see here, this was still intact at the time.
That was the part we're looking at now that's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Addition, correct. Yeah, sorry, Scott Crotzer.
Yeah.
So the main structure is.
Okay.
Doesn't look bad.
Katrina Hornung, I'm not sure if you can answer this, but the current owner that purchased it, did they have intentions to restore it prior to, you know, the fire and the water damage, or was the intent always?
I truly don't know either way on that one.
Kathy Lebrana, when was the fire?
I believe it was in June.
Let's see. This building observation probably has the date. They did the observation on June 11th. So this was probably a little bit before that.
So that's the 403 property.
Yeah, but just okay. For the date of
the
incident. Just as it was June 11th on here.
You know, my question and my concern is Pam Miller again, that the city has condemned 403, has not condemned this. Looking at the interior prior to the collapse of the addition, and again, because it's a contributing building, it makes me wonder if there's anything there that can be done in a way that, to not cause a financial hardship, noting that the price of was paid for the property, and recouping that. So that's also a question because, you know, according to the documents, $230,000 paid for the property. This is just a comment. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions, staff? Okay, let's hear from the petitioner, please.
Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Again, I'm only representing the new construction, so I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have about that. But I think we've kind of gone over all the issues in the last petition related to that part of it.
Sorry to ask this, Ellen Scott Crotzer, but sure. The applicant wouldn't be amenable to restoring this property.
It's my understanding that he feels that the economic hardship provision in the ordinance has been met given the price paid for the property.
Are there any other questions of the petitioner?
I do have someone online. They want to speak. The name is Samuel Kopelman.
Yeah, that's the owner.
Okay. Yes, please go ahead and speak.
Self-muted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, can I be heard?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry that someone was calling in, so that muted me out. So I am the, when I acquired this, I just want to address some of the questions regarding the demolition. When I acquired this property, originally I always knew the left one, the 403, will be harder to rehab and put it back to its original state, but we did have intention originally to work with the 407 to try to rehab it and put it back to the beauty of keeping it intact with the area. I have brought in several contractors and a structural engineer, and none of the contractors even wanted to go close to this project. I believe the pictures that were shown are not exactly up to date of how it looks right now. A big part of it collapsed in the back. It sustained a lot of significant damage from the water damage when they put out the fire at 403. And the interior of the property was left when I originally toured it with the original owner. They inherited it, I believe like 10 years ago. And it was like a big space for a lot of, people like this, it was very damaged on the inside. No, I was for it and may be able to put it back, but I couldn't find any contractor that would even consider it. I have another petition coming up later for a new ADU, and the, I don't know if you made it there. His name is Stan Perkins. He does contracting work. I had him go through the property as well, and I don't know if he's there right now, if you made it in time, but he can attest to that as well. For people who have knowledge in the construction industry, that this is a project that is completely not feasible to fix at all.
Any board members have questions for the petitioner?
I have a question. If we are amenable to demolition, are you willing to salvage all the material that's salvageable from that property?
Absolutely. When I spoke to Caitlin about it, I asked her to give me the context of who would specialize in that, and absolutely.
Thank you.
Are we on commission comments?
We are now going to close public comments and go to board discussion, and let's go ahead and start with Kathy.
Kathy Levina, this is a contributing building in a Savannah's historic districts. If you look at the photographs, you can see significant damage to the additions to the historic building, but the historic building appears to be intact. I have driven by it. It does not frighten me as a historic preservation contractor with a Georgia contracting license. This is a one-story building. You definitely 100% can feasibly restore it.
Scott Crosser, I would agree with those comments. I would also put out there to continue to perhaps get some updated photographs. Since we did approve the demolition of the other site and construction, I believe that project can go through.
Katrina Hornung, no comment.
Cordy Bonney, no comment.
Pam Miller again. I see it from the perspective of a realtor. And so as far as a financial viability of doing the work, I really don't know. It's one of those things where we need housing. And I just don't know in the long run whether this one is workable. So I'll stop with that.
Pat Richardson, I'm so sorry you spent so much money for this property, but I think you still should take into consideration of trying to salvage the part that is the contributing building.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Are we comfortable with continuing this to further?
I think that's more of the question. Could we continue this until maybe next month to get some additional photos? If there's been any additional damage done, or if the city condemns it or something.
I mean, that's a whole other month. That this is just going to sit there and get worse. But, you know, and they are going to have to document this for the city.
I hear that.
That's the problem, right? We don't have code enforcement to uphold what it is. Otherwise, it wouldn't have ended up like this.
Also, on the flip side, if we had did our due diligence and went around and looked at property, then we wouldn't need updated photos.
We wouldn't be able to go inside, though. Scott Kratzer.
Is the petitioner open to a extension till next month?
It's going to be gone in the next month. Yes, sir. And we may also be able to take a video of the interior if that's something that would be helpful for the board.
Okay. Folks, look, can I get a motion? Thank you.
This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Thirty-Ninth Street Development LLC, 2500943 COA, 407 West 39th Street, contributing demolition, new construction, no, just the demolition. For staff recommendations, to continue until next month, 9/25/25. Is that correct?
The 24th.
Or 9/24/25 for interior photos of the property.
Katrina Hornick, I second.
Okay, great. Having a motion offered and second, let's take it to a vote. We will start with Pat.
Pat Richardson approve.
Pam Miller approve.
Courtney Bonney approve.
Katrina Horner approve.
Scott Kratzer approve.
Kathy LeBron approve.
Jeff Nefrika approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's go on to the petition of Rose Architects, Kevin Rose, 25-003768 COA, 15 West 41st Street, addition.
Afternoon, this is Kelly again. So the applicant's request an approval to construct a second story, but a portion of an existing one-story addition at 15 West 41st Street. So the current building was constructed in 1900 and first appears on the 1916 stamp board maps. The building retained the same footprint up until 1966 per the Sanborns. By 2001, this kind of western portion right here was expanded to meet the current side elevation. That same year, there was a request made for some small additions to the rear of the building as well. Sometime between 2001 and now, the entire one-story portion, which expanded to be the same width as the current home. The rear is only one story, so it's clearly differentiated from the current two-story structure. So the applicant is proposing to add a second story to the one-story western portion. So this element right here is currently one story, looking to go up. The bulk of the addition will be on that one-story portion, which is not historic. A connector piece will tie this addition to the main structure itself. The non-historic portion will tend, again, take the brunt of the changes that will include the removal of the roof and the expansion of the existing chimney. The only major changes done to the main home is the conversion of a window to a door and the connector piece tying into the main home. The overall addition will have a minimal impact on the historic home, given that it's pulled off the structure and given how it's tied to the structure as it's to the main structure. The roof shape is a unique form, but in this area, there are examples of additions that have different roof forms from the primary building. Staff also finds this to be a more modern interpretation of a slope roof they see lower additions having. Staff also finds this to be a good way to differentiate the addition from the primary building. Proposed materials for the addition include wood siding, TPO metal roofing, wood windows, and brick or block for the chimney, and that will match the current chimney. Other proposed materials meet the standards. Along with the addition, the applicant is proposing this rooftop terrace element, which will have minimal impact on the element below, as well as replacing some roofing on an existing one-story portion. Overall, staff finds proposed work to meet the standards. With that, staff is recommending approval of the construction of the second story above the first story at 15 West 41st as requested. With that, does the commission have any questions?
Kathy Levine, I've got a question on the height of the upper portion of the roof. How does that align with those dormers? You really can't see it.
I'm going to check the plans, may check better. Yeah. So at least with the side one, it's lower. That's the rear dormer there.
Scott Krotzer, and we talked about this a little in the pre-meeting, but I'm still concerned with how much water is shedding into that negative space in between the structure and the house. That's quite a bit of water that would be gushing towards that eave. Did you see remediation for that? Is there an internal gutter that I'm missing?
That's something that you can ask the applicant. I did not see any gutters when I was reviewing it. We can definitely ask the applicant.
Were they amenable to switching the slope to the other side?
You will have to need to ask the applicant that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Any other questions? Okay, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Kirkwood. I'm representing Rose Architecture this afternoon. And to address the comments about the gutters, we were proposing a gutter on the side that's facing the house. And the low slope roof would have a scupper, a TPO roof that's low slope with a scupper on the west side of the building. The placement of the roof, it's situated that way because it's an artist that lives there, and she wants to, it's a retreat off of her bedroom. So she wants to have a space with the skylights that she can see the sky, and the porch is also intended for that use too. A retreat at the end of the day kind of thing.
Any questions of the petitioner?
Okay, Courtney Bonney, sorry. I'm a little late on that. Yeah, I think I echo some of Scott's comments. I don't think it would do a lot of damage to the design if the slope just was shedding the water out into the yard portion rather than all of the water coming back towards, because I agree with the concern that even though you have a gutter in there, the volume of water, it wouldn't be able to handle. And it would just cause havoc on other, where those connections are and that sort of thing. So I think maybe a really reconsidering just which way that roof is pitching, because I think it doesn't alter the design or the intent behind that. But I think you'll find down the road that it'll create maintenance issues that are challenging.
Right. So to address that, as I mentioned, the person that owns the building is an artist, and she typically hangs their larger pieces of work that she hangs. So that was the drive behind that. But would you be willing to consider, like, if the gutter sloped to either side to get the water away from the
like a building? Pitched roof, right?
For the pitched roof, yeah.
Katrina Horning, it's not even, I mean, if they want to detail it that way and then they have to deal with the water, is that really part of our purview?
Well, the damage to the house.
That's true. That is very true. Yeah, that TPO roof concerns me.
We also designed the roof that way to keep the building, like the massing of the existing structure. We wanted to have that, the new addition be less important to the main structure.
Okay, do we have any other questions of the petitioner?
Kathy Levina, why did you choose two over one? for your window design versus 1:1?
It mimics the current building from what I remember. What's below?
Well, it shows that the current historic building is 1:1.
Our intent is definitely to match all existing windows.
Be 1:1?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Smoking in the boys' room. Did you stop?
Because I straight up went to my office. I'm like, what is
New York? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know if I like this side of the room. You do?
Yeah.
I don't get to see their faces. That's what I don't like. Because I think my perspective is different than yours. I get the side view, the profile. Yeah. My dad would slap her.
Let's get back to order. Okay, where were we? Do we have any questions for the petitioner? Do we have any questions for the petitioner?
Yeah. I think we've got a couple of conversations going, Jeff.
Okay, so let's dwindle that down. Do we have any other questions for the petitioner? All right, hearing none, and no, do you have questions?
Yes, sorry, Courtney Bonney. I guess my final question is if you guys would potentially be amenable to just rotating it 90 degrees, just mm-hmm. so the water's shedding off to one of the sides. I mean, right. I understand you were saying she wants to maintain the height of that yes. wall. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We also, as we were standing outside, I was reflecting on some of the earlier designs, and I don't know if you're mentioning maybe rotating the roof, which absolutely, that's definitely something we would consider or do. But we also had a butterfly roof condition where we were having a small break in the backside, so the water wouldn't go up against the house, but would veer in the same direction that you're suggesting.
Gotcha. Yeah.
On the screen, you can see where I'm pointing. The break would be here, and then drain towards the west side of the building. That way, she could still have her skylights. The design intent is still there. We would be able to shed the water away from the building, protect the building. She could have the beams, and she could hang her artwork, kind of. Would that be something to consider?
Katrina Harding, I think, yeah, certainly. Just, I think our concern, as Scott was saying earlier, was getting that water away from the historic structure because, you know, with the bountiful amount of rains we've continued to have,
yes,
we're concerned about the intrusion there.
I'm actually glad that you're saying this because she was really excited about the butterfly truss, and we kind of steered her away from it. We were just concerned about getting it approved. So I'm happy to hear. I'm sure she'll be happy to hear something like that.
And Katrina Horning, staff, is that something that y'all would feel comfortable reviewing? Okay, thank you.
Okay, and no other questions for the petitioner. I'll go ahead and close this to public comment, and we'll go into board discussion. I'll start with Pat.
I have a question. If they do the butterfly roof, then he doesn't have to worry about your recommendation to rotate it by 90 degrees, right?
Yes, I think either that rotation or adding that butterfly component just to keep the sheer volume of water coming back towards the house, I think either are good ways to mitigate that problem. Yeah.
All right.
This is Pam Miller. I agree with staff recommendations.
Courtney Bonney, no additional comments.
Katrina Horner, no further comment.
Scott Krotzer, no further comment.
Kathy Levine, I have one comment. Is the connection between the second floor addition to the second floor of the existing building, are you obscuring the dentils along the back portion? Or those dentils are non-historic? I'm a little confused.
It's intended to be below the dentils.
It is intended to be below. Okay, thank you.
Great. Can I get a motion?
Courtney Bonney, I move that the petition of Rose Architects 25-003768-COA at 15 West 41st Street be approved with the conditions of adding a design element to mitigate water intrusion. As it is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Kathy Levine, a slight amendment. Can you include the windows in your recommendation?
Amended to add a second condition on reconfiguring the windows to be 1/1 to be visually compatible with the existing historic structure.
Katrina Horner, I second.
Excellent. Having a motion and seconded, let's start with Kathy for a vote.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horner, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Nafrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we go to the petition of Lynch, an associate's architect, 25-003772COA, 1801 Habersham Street, alterations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant's requesting approval for alterations to the building located at 1801 Habersham Street. Proposed work includes extension of the existing canopy over the back patio with a modern industrial-style pergola,
enclosure of an existing patio space on the south and east elevations, and addition of a screened equipment area at the rear of the building. So just for some background, the 1801 Habersham Street was built in 1953 and is a non-contributing resource within the Streetcar Historic District. While it is non-contributing, its mid-century modern features remain largely intact and will not be impacted by the proposed work. A similar version of this project was approved in 2021 that included the extension of the existing canopy with the metal pergola, but the COA had expired and is included in this current overall project. So staff found that everything for the design and visual compatibility was met, just to kind of walk you through the site plan. Let me get this a little bigger. So from Habersham Street, you know, a lot of this is going to be on the rear fenced-in area around the back of the building. The one area that will be the most visible, I guess you could say, along Habersham is an already screened porch area. They just are requesting to do a different screening and a storefront enclosure. And a different screening. So overall, staff found there were no concerns with this project. These were all minor changes, and therefore recommend to approve the proposed alterations for the property at 1801 Habersham Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Board, do we have any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Hello, my name is Mariel Hamer on behalf of Lynch Associates Architects. So basically, we are slightly modifying a previously approved COA that has expired, which is the canopy addition. For extra restaurant seating, the canopy addition will not be visible from the right-of-way, directly perpendicular from the Habersham Street. And we are also proposing an enclosed equipment enclosure on, I believe, 34th Street. So no equipment would be visible. And I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Do you have any questions of the petitioner? Okay, hearing none. We do have one speaker card from Charlie.
Mr. Chair.
Henderson.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I sent you a message regarding that.
Okay. All right, so we are going to give him a moment to get back. Any other discussion we've got internally or questions?
Kathy LeBron, I just have a question. Do you have to get a right-of-way permit?
We are not encroaching past the property line, except for when the door swings open, but...
I apologize. We had a public comment person that needed to go put some money in their meter, and they've hopefully will be back shortly. We're going to give them a couple more minutes, and then we're going to move on without them.
I have a comment for the petitioner. The design is really sensitive to what would be the historic articles of this building. I think there should be appreciation and consideration for that, even though it's a non-contributing building. This would be one of the reasons to update our contributing lists. But I appreciate the design.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point, let's go ahead and move into board discussion, and if the person shows up, we'll let them speak, but we need to keep this meeting moving along. Yes. Okay. Yeah, please identify yourself.
My name is Carrie Henderson, and it's about the agenda that you have down here, number 24, 1801 Havisham Street.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know what's going on there. Is going to be addition to that? Are they remodeling or adding on or what?
Caitlin, you want to...
So they're going to be, the project will be extending a patio area and then enclosing the space. So there's not actually an addition per se. It's more of alterations on the building to just include.
So they're not expanding anything? It's not bringing anything out?
No. It's just staying within their property, within their footprint. So it's just extending a patio seating area that is already there, but they are just putting the covering further out. And they're enclosing the space. So it's already enclosed. They're just like re-enclosing it, and then they're putting a different fencing around the back.
So outside, no structure?
No. No.
Okay. Because I live next door, and I need to know what's what.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Okay, let's go ahead and close this to a board discussion, and we will start with Kathy.
I agree with staff recommendation.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Katrina Horner, no comment.
Courtney Bonney, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Excellent. Can I get a motion?
Katrina Horno. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Lynch Associate Architects 2500377 COA 1801 Habersham Street as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Courtney Bonney, second.
Okay, thank you. Having a motion second, and let's go to a vote. Let's go ahead and start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notarico approved. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now let's go on to the next agenda item, the petition of 312 West 37th Street, Samuel Kopelman, 25-003755 COA, 303 West 34th Street, new construction, small part 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant's requesting approval to construct an accessory dwelling unit at the rear of the property located at 303 West 34th Street. The applicant has also applied for variances for the following to exceed the maximum ADU footprint and relief from the 3-foot side yard setback to 2 feet for the eaves and roof overhang. A third request to exceed the ADU height limit was withdrawn by the applicant after consultation with development services staff. So just to give you some context of the area, the principal building at 303 West 34th Street was built in 1908 and is a contributing resource. It is situated on a block between Jefferson and Montgomery Streets and is surrounded by many similar contributing two-story wood frame dwellings. So staff went through the zoning and design standards and just had a few notes on this project. So for the setbacks, the side yard interior would be 3 feet minimum. The site plan provided shows this. However, there is a variance request for the 2-foot setback to allow for that eave overhang. So staff requests updated drawings to show the accurate information. So many of the standards staff found were met, but I'll just go through some of the things that we noticed. So for the doors on the elevations here, this would be the one on the lane with the garage door for vehicle access. The material is still needed for the garage door, and then also for ADUs, the width needs to be shown because 12 feet is the maximum, so we just need to ensure that's the case. For the roof, the main roof was fine, but what's not noted on the drawings was just for the shed roof over the garage door to make sure that's between that 212 and 612 pitch. And then eaves and rakes on accessory buildings and dormers shall overhang at least 8 inches. The overhang on this is 16 inches, which is double the minimum and may be contributing to the variance request for the 2-foot setback. Staff recommends the applicant explores options to see if this can be scaled back to have a lesser variance request or if it can be eliminated. For materials with porches, stoops, balconies, and decks, for the stoop with stairs leading to the second floor, staff recommends that the applicant specify whether the wood will be painted or stained. That would be just getting a little more clarification on the drawings with that 40%. Now, we've had ongoing conversations with the applicant about this one, and they will be presenting, just how they're looking to have a little clarification for us on some of it. Because originally the request was 58% of the building footprint, but it's actually 48%, it sounds like. And we still would request the square footage of not only this building, but of the house, just kind of showing how they relate and typical elements that we review. And then just to make sure the drawings show the correct height, which, at the time was showing 27 foot 4 or 6 inches, and now they are saying they will do the 25 foot maximum. So we just need the reflected drawings for that. So with the staff recommendations, some neighborhood context on the lane. The staff recommendation with the information we had at the time of writing the report was to continue the request to construct the ADU with variances for the property at 303 West 34th Street to the September 24th, 2025 HPC meeting to allow the applicant time to address design revisions that would reduce the need for the 2 variances, provide scaled drawings that accurately reflect the request and show the square footage of the house and proposed ADU, provide information regarding the material and length of the garage door,
and provide information regarding the pitch of the shed roof above the garage door and specify whether the wood elements will be painted or stained for the stairs. So with that, I will turn it over to you if you have any questions.
Scott Krotzer. Caitlin, do on the site plan drawing that you had, do the stairs encroach past? See how it's just a square? Where are the stairs at?
If I'm not mistaken, I think that the stairs
would go to the property line.
Should go to the property line, but let's get some clarification about that too.
They're not shown on that drawing. So the square, the stairs are on the side. Oh, I thought they were on the left and right. The courtyard would be on the back.
Caitlin, Kathy Levine, questions for staff. Do you see many carriage houses in this area that do not have a transparency or a window on the second floor fronting the lane?
We have not typically seen that, no. But that's certainly something if the commission feels they would like that, we can check in with the applicant about that too, with their
yes.
Design.
Please. Oh, see.
All right. Do we have another questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Board.
What's your name?
Stan Perkins, representing 312-37 LLC. Let's see. So let's answer a few questions here for you. And I know we made some recent revisions to these drawings to incorporate everything that she just discussed. So that's a 412 pitch over that little shed roof over the garage. I believe we've changed that current height now to 24 foot 4 inches just by changing the pitch of the overall roof, which our maximum was 25 feet. That was originally one of the variances we were requesting. So not anymore. That's the one we've eliminated. To answer your question, Mr. Scott, that staircase does encroach into the setback there. We're certain that we'll satisfy the VBA tomorrow by just, if we need to, we'll just reduce the overhang on the roof back to get that satisfied as well. Ms. Cappy, if y'all would rather see windows right there facing the lane over that garage, we can incorporate that as well. The staircase will be stained, so we've changed that note on there as well. Just trying to cover everything that was asked about there. So what we're looking at tomorrow is just if the ZBA agrees to just have us reduce that pitch or that overall overhang on the roof line and then hopefully meet us somewhere in the middle. This is a small main dwelling, so it kind of forced us to be at that 40% of the ADU. It makes it a very small ADU in comparison to others that are almost twice the size of it. So if they'll meet us somewhere between that 40% that they're saying the prerequisite state and the 8% that we're requiring, then we'll meet that. And we're happy to comply with whatever they come up with. So kind of what we're looking at today, as opposed to a continuance until next month, if the board and staff agrees, we like to do, just based on the ZBA's approval tomorrow, we'd like to have an approval today as well with all of the notes, with the new drawings, that we do have revised already. We just didn't have a chance to submit them before coming in here today. So we'd like to have an approval based on the ZBA's findings tomorrow, as opposed to a continuance until next month. And I'll answer any questions at this time.
Courtney Bonney, so to clarify on the stair, how close to the lot line does the staircase get then? Is that a zero lot line?
Yes, ma'am. It's going to be a zero lot line. Yes, ma'am. Just on the one side. Yes, ma'am.
And is that the side that's against that wall? the next door neighbor, isn't there a building right there?
No, sir.
Okay. So wouldn't the variance also include that stairway and not just the overhang?
Well, it seems like when I spoke with zoning, and we can clarify that as well, if it wasn't covered, it didn't count as being a part of the variance request in the setback. I may need to confirm that as well.
Yeah, I think you would have to have a zero lot line variance request for this case to be that.
Okay.
Yeah.
As part of the drawings, can we have a conceptual drawing of the neighboring building since you are on a zero lot line?
Yes, sir. That's fine. We can comply with that. No problems.
Katrina, can we pull back the site plan up for a minute?
What?
Yep. Okay, so we're looking at, you've got your stairs on the side, so the only way to access that first floor would be to come through the courtyard or go all the way around the backside of the ADU, correct?
Yes, ma'am, because it is a narrow lot, correct.
That's a tight corner.
We looked at the option of placing the staircase inside, but then that, of course, that reduced the space even smaller because it's already tight as it is. So kind of coming, putting the staircase on the exterior was more of a functional idea anyway.
So the house to the left of this doesn't have an ADU?
No.
No, sir. Okay. No, I didn't see any ADUs back there. I even walked in the lane.
Okay, do we have no more questions for the petitioner?
Kathy Levina, since we are looking at some elements that I think need a little bit of a revision.
Yes, ma'am.
The shed awning over the garage.
Yes, ma'am.
You typically don't see a shed awning with the shingles. Mm-hmm. It's typically a metal roof.
Metal, yes, ma'am.
Metal roof. Would you be amenable?
Yes, ma'am. No problem. That? Yes, ma'am. We can comply with that without an issue. What were you thinking about the window, Miss Kathy? I know you mentioned that initially.
I'm not the designer.
I know, but what's your thoughts on? I mean, what's your thoughts? As far as thinking, we may need to have one on that lane.
Rhythm to void. I would recommend two windows.
Right. And I think one of the reasons we initially looked at that, we didn't put any windows back there, is because if you see, let's find it. There, this is the view.
That's okay.
You know, across the lane anyway. So this one and this one is that view across that lane. And this is across the lane.
Light and air are invaluable.
Okay, do we have any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, at this time we're going to close to public comment. And go into board discussion. Let's start with Kathy.
The petitioner seems amenable to do a lot of revisions. I think it's a lot for this meeting, however.
Scott Crosser, I agree. I think it's a lot for staff to review.
Is the petitioner open to continuing this till the next meeting? So we can nail this down?
Yes, sir. We'll comply.
Okay.
That's kind of what I like to say.
Sorry. Katrina Hornung. Yeah, I think continuing this would be great. I am wondering, for the zero lot line, is that something he has to apply for special exception? Is that ZBA? I'm always a little bit confused about that one.
Yeah, that setbacks would be. I think you all could approve a 1 foot, but anything more than that, it's got to go to ZBA. So okay. It would.
That's a variance.
Yeah, Courtney, Bonnie, the zero lot line is my main concern with this. You know, there's been a lot of requests for constructing ADUs, and, you know, a lot of them are coming from folks that don't have anything built on either side. So, you know, the rationale being like, well, there's nothing there now, but, you know, if you make that argument and you allow that, you're essentially encroaching on the property next door and their rights down the road. So I think, again, we're going to need clarification from BZA on if they are going to get that variance, because if not, then again, it's going to have ramifications on the design of the carriage house itself. So, I think we would need to continue this regardless to see kind of what BZA's take is on that, and that would help us move forward.
It's Pam Miller. I'm not a fan of zero lot line, just for that same reason. And I'm also concerned about the number of, like Courtney just said, ADUs that are now coming in requesting variances for the size. And so I'd like to see that this come back next month with those issues addressed. Thank you.
Pat Richardson, I agree with Courtney and Pam. I'm not a fan of the zero lot line either.
Okay, can I get a motion?
Can I ask one more question? Does ZBA know about the encroaching staircase, or is it just the eaves and like we talked about before?
I don't. I can defer to my colleague here.
Hello, I'm Rohan, and I'm been working with the petitioner as part of the ZBA application for tomorrow. Yep. And the ZBA is, the staff is not aware of the zero lot line as part of the application.
So what happens? Does he have to, Scott Crotzer, does he have to reapply for the staircase or change the design?
I will be consulting with my director, Edward Morrow, regarding this, but as per my knowledge, this will have to be something, as of now at least, there will be no additions or changes to the part of the application or the report. We will be addressing what was applied for, but I think it can come up in conversation as part of the board, as part of the discussion, and the board is okay with it. It'll probably be taken into consideration, but not as a
new
part.
So he wouldn't have to, in effect, apply for a zero lot line coverage rather
They will have to, but the only case I mean is
enough time to do that is what I'm getting to before the next meeting.
Yeah, that's what my question is. If they don't do that, mm-hmm. should we just go ahead and put this out 2 months and it can come next month if that can all be done? But if we put it for next month and then it's not, you know, not done in time because I have to go back to DBA, that could be an issue for another month.
You could always do the, you know, for a date not to exceed, because they technically would have 90 days. So, if you just wanted to say though, like up through the October 22nd meeting, but if it's sooner, they could come back. You're not, yeah.
Sounds good. Can we get a motion?
This is Pam Miller, and I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of 312 West 37th, LLC, Samuel Koppelman, 25003755 COA, 303 West 34th Street, until October 22nd, 2025, to continue, or that's all I need to say, right? So, yeah, good. That's it.
Katrina Horning, I second.
Great. Having a motion and properly seconded, let's go to a vote. We'll start with Kathy.
For clarification, that includes all the stipulations, including what was
Kathy, what are you, turn on your microphone?
Thank you. Happy Levine, a point of clarification that
motion includes all the stipulations as noted by staff, including the
yes.
windows
yes, correct.
And the material for the shed roof.
Yes.
And the stair encroachment.
Okay, so let's go to a vote. Kathy?
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. Motion carries. Next one is the petition of Remote Vision 3D, Zach Goodwin, 25-003770, COA, 210 West 39th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2, ADU.
Good afternoon, it's Rohan again. So we have two petitions, one for 210 West and one for 210 and a half. So I'd like to go ahead and establish the context together, but then take up the discussion individually. So, you can see here in the aerial, the lot is between Bernard and Jefferson Street on 39th. And so there's two lots, and one has an existing contributing residence on it. And the intent on that lot is to add an ADU. And the other is the vacant lot that's 210 and a half, where the intent is to have new construction that includes both a primary residence and an ADU. So here, essentially trying to show both the interventions that are intended over here. And here's a few photographs that show the vacant lot being 210 and a half and the building to the right, that is the gray house, is 210. So coming to 210, here the new construction intended is just the addition of an ADU to an existing primary residence. And the findings are for TN2, according to TN2 standards, the side and rear setbacks are met. The accessory structure is required facing the rear yard. That is met. And according to Section 8.7 for ADU standards, the distance between the principal house and the ADU, everything is compliant, even in terms of square footage. It is less than 40% and is compliant. Visual compatibility, height and mass, the height is subordinate to the main house and is hence compatible. The footprint and scale is consistent with the historic carriage houses, and the rhythm is preserved as per what is observed on a site visit and what is seen around. Material-wise, there's nothing that is non-compliant based on what was submitted, and the windows are again permitted consistent with the prior approvals, the Anderson 200 series with vinyl clad wood. Roof is gable form, asphalt, and porches. Everything is compliant based on what the staff has received. And here we can see the standards and materials that are proposed. And hence the staff recommendation is to approve the petition for the new construction of a carriage house at 210 West 39th Street as requested, because it meets the visual compatibility criteria and the streetcar historic district design standards. Any questions? If you would prefer, I go ahead with 210 and a half as well, and I'm happy to.
Okay, do we have any questions of staff?
Do these not need to be separate petitions?
They are.
Yeah, these are separate petitions, okay, just to be able to understand how they work together with each other and establish the context together. Yeah.
Okay, do we have the petitioner here that we can hear from? Okay, I'm assuming we do not have the petitioner here.
David, yeah, I got David. Okay.
Well, I think,
hello, are you there?
I think we need to just go through this one first, and then we'll go through 210.
Yes.
Let's do we have one?
I'm here.
Okay. Would you like to make any comments?
No, sir. We're just trying to make it as compliant as possible, blend in with the area, and let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the petitioner?
Kathy Levina, a question about the front elevation. The windows that you are proposing are square. And is there a reason that they are accent windows versus full scale windows?
David, can you unmute yourself again?
Am I on the right one?
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. The square window is above a sink, and so it can't be a full window. And then the other square window is in a bathroom, so it's to match each other. Everything else is full length.
Is it possible for that floor plan to be altered so that you had full-scale windows facing the public right-of-way and those two square accent windows not on the primary facade but on the secondary facade?
No, those are over a kitchen sink.
I understand that. Is there a possibility of altering the floor plan so that the accent windows are not on the primary facade, so that you'd have full-scale windows on the primary facade facing the lane, and the accent windows?
If we did that, then it would put the stairs in the fire across the property line, or it would be in the fire-rated zone. So to make it easier, we move the stairs in the back so we won't have to fire-rate those, and then in the alleyway, those windows would be facing it. So,
thank you.
Because if you went up the stairs, you'd be coming into the kitchen. Into the kitchen. So the layout wouldn't work. It's a small possible layout.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you very much. Let's close this now and go into board discussion. I'd like to start with Kathy.
I have great concern that those windows are not full-scale windows on the primary facade of the property and that they are accent windows, and it throws off solid to voids on the primary facade of the ADU. Fronting the public right-of-way.
Scott Krotzer, no further comment.
Katrina Horning, no further comment.
Courtney Bonney, no comment.
Pam Miller, I'm just happy to see an ADU request without variances.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Excellent. Can I get a motion from a board member, please?
Katrina Horner, can you pull up the staff recommendations?
Can you go back to the staff recommendations?
Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Zach Goodwin, petition number 25-003770-COA, 210 West 39th Street, with the following conditions. One, that the windows on the primary facade are full-scale windows, designed to be approved at staff level because the petition is otherwise in compliance with visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance, if staff is okay with that.
Scott Krotzer, second.
Having a motion tendered and properly seconded, I'd like to go to a vote. And let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Pam Miller, approve.
I'm going to say deny, basically, not that I deny the petition, but I don't think that the condition is necessary. So I think it should be approved as recommended by staff.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levana, approve.
Jeff Nutriga, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's go on to the final agenda item for the day. Petition of Remote Vision 3D, Zach Goodwin, 25-003771. COA 210 and a half West 39th Street, new construction. Small parts 1 and 2, house and ADU.
Ron again. So this, as I said, is a petition that includes the new construction of a primary residence. And primary residence is designed and proposed to be 1,068 square feet, and the ADU is proposed to be 400 square feet. Hence, both lot coverage-wise, it's compliant, and height compliance also agrees. The rear yard orientation, everything is compliant. And talking about part two, height and scale is consistent with the two-story contributing houses nearby. Front setback is aligned with the block pattern. And material-wise, there's nothing that was noted that was non-compliant. Everything is compliant, but staff just wants to confirm and add the condition to make sure that the transparent features, we get information regarding the transparency at the ground level just to be sure that it is compliant with the 30% rule. And here's the provided information and the materials as stated above. And hence the staff recommendation is to approve the request to construct a single family residence and carriage house at 210A West 39th Street with the following condition to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. The condition is provide information about the transparent features on the ground floor elevations to ensure the 30% minimum is met. You know, answer any questions.
Any questions for our staff? Okay. Can we hear from the petitioner? Hello? Is the petitioner still online? Hello?
Yes, now I'm back on. You there?
Yes. Any comments you'd like to add to this? Please state your name.
David Stewart. We sent in a document yesterday that showed 31% transparency on the front elevation.
Okay, are there any questions of the petitioner?
Again, we just try to make this as simple as possible to comply with everything and have no variances.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and close this now and go into board discussion. I'll start with Kathy.
For clarification, this is just the main house, correct? We're just looking at the main house, or are we also looking at the carriage house?
I think both.
It's both.
Okay. I didn't know how divided we were getting. So I've got the same concerns on this carriage house as I did on the prior one. As my colleague pointed out to me, the interior design should not affect the exterior expression of the architecture. So again, I to maintain the historic character concerning most specifically the rhythm of solids to voids. I believe that the main facade needs to feature two full scale windows.
Scott Krotzer, no further comment.
Katrina Hornung, I just looking at the front elevation of the main structure, feel like the, on the topic of solids to voids, that the second floor porch feels a little bit clustered with openings. If we could find a way to reconfigure that so it doesn't feel so full.
Courtney
Bonney, no further comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Great. Can I get a motion from the board?
Question for the petitioner, I guess. Would you be amenable to matching the doors on from the first floor to the second floor on the main house and moving that door so it's centered on that first bay? And eliminating the window. Katrina Horton again. It just feels very heavy on that elevation.
So it matches all the houses on that street. So those are bay windows. So it gives a lot of character. That's a bathroom with a full window where it is upstairs. And then downstairs, it would seem a little bit off. We can move that. It's just, that's going to make it look a little weird with the door not far to the side as you walk in, kind of walking into the middle of the living room.
Katrina Horning again. I'm not concerned. I understand the bay. It just, you see how there's, you know, that whole second floor elevation just feels like windows. It just feels like it's too heavy. Like, and then it doesn't align. The doors don't align. They're not centered in the second floor door is not aligned in the center. It just feels like there needs to be some thought around this area still. A little bit more design needs to be fleshed out.
Yeah, we've built this home multiple times, and it's actually a beautiful design. So it flows really well, and it looks really good. It sells well. So, but understand the concerns. We can remove the window next to the door on the balcony to the bathroom if that's better for you.
Kathy Lubina, where have you built this building?
We have built on 42nd Street, Anderson Street, 34th Street twice, 32nd Street, and that is it.
Okay.
Wait. Courtney Bonney, I understand the concerns on just how much is covering that facade. I think maybe an alternative might be a door that doesn't have so much glazing so that it reads more as siding versus the openings would probably be a better alternative, just given, you know, the constraints of the width of the property to fit on the lot. So, I think, that as a condition would probably be something that would address your concern without having to require a redesign of the floor plan.
Yes, we could definitely accommodate that.
All right. Do we have any other questions within the board discussion? Can we get a motion?
Katrina Hornung. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Remote Vision 3D Zach Goodwin 25-003771-COA at 210.5 West 39th Street with the condition that the second floor main building door be rethought and a new less visible, less solid material be chosen. Because the petition isn't, I'm sorry. Oh, and that the windows on the main facade of the ADU be reconfigured so that they are full size rectilinear windows as opposed to accent square windows, because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Great. Having a motion properly seconded, let's go to a vote. And let's start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Next, we're going to go to staff.
We got 1215 Java Place.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Sorry, I forgot that.
Okay.
So let's go back to the consent agenda. Petition of Your Exterior Pros, Beth Barrows, 25-002814 COA, 1215 Java Place, windows and siding.
Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. So the applicant is requesting approval of in-kind replacements for the deteriorated windows and siding on the property at 1215 Java Place. So this building was constructed in 1910 and is a contributing resource. The property was originally known as 1209 Houston Street. So the building probably hasn't changed a whole lot, but the street name has. One thing that to note is this was based on the Sanborns. This little area here was an open porch that was enclosed later, sometime maybe late 20th, early 21st century. So this was heard at the July 23rd meeting and was continued with the conditions to provide more details about the condition of the windows and more photos of the siding in need of replacement. So this, this is part of the original application that I'm showing you now. We did get a few more images of the siding and the windows, manufacturer specifications, but I know there were concerns. So we got more images. It was showing some of the siding issues. It's not a wholesale siding. It's not taking everything off. It's replacing what needs to be replaced. The windows are in varying states of deterioration. There's reports of water infiltration in some of them. I'm just kind of quickly going through this, but really what I think y'all are probably going to need to do is hear from the petitioner, because I had presented this last month and we did not get an opportunity to hear from them. I will just go ahead. We can look through some of these, and hopefully you'd had a chance to look at these ahead of time, but just as a recap to go through. Now staff had recommended approval of these. So I'm just going to leave it at that where, let's see. This was a request to approve the request for in-kind siding and window replacement as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And as mentioned, I think it's probably best to turn it over to the petitioners at this time. Thank you.
Any questions of staff? Okay, let's talk to the petitioner.
There's online either Sam Dolan or Beth Barrows.
Caitlin, can you please scroll back to the Secretary of Interior Standards?
Hey, can you hear me? This is Sam.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess as far as the siding, you know, we're just going to be looking to do spot repairs to anything that's rotten, like in kind. For the windows, you know, the as far as the first meeting goes, you guys didn't have enough photos to document. So we went back out, got some pictures. I think it was mostly of the second floor windows. We're just hoping we can get these replaced for the customer because they are having leaks in windows. A lot of them are deteriorating and falling apart. And they have multiple layers of paint on them. Sashes are cracking, splitting. You know, overall, to do just repairs would cost the homeowner more money than it would just to replace. And most of them don't even open.
Scott Krotzer, I hear the concerns from the petitioner, but I've seen windows in a lot worse state that have been repaired, and the idea is to keep as much historically accurate material as possible within a historic structure, especially one that is part of the district as this one is. So even the ones that appear to be broken or split could be repaired. So I'm having a hard time with how the ordinance is in replacing all 14.
So it's a cost thing. You know, we're going to go back with the Victor Built series, which is approved by y'all. It's just going to be a time thing and a cost dollar amount for the homeowner. You know, he's going to get a better window that's going to function. We're not going to be spending multiple hours, days, you know, trying to repair a window that's pretty much not salvageable and then have to basically board up their home while they have tenants living in it so that we can do these repairs.
Oh, Scott Krotzer, again, I'm sorry, but I don't think that cost comes through purview of us. We just...
I don't know.
Have you worked in the district before with windows like this?
Oh, yeah. I just did 450 of them for SNAP housing. And we do multiple replacements all the time in this area.
Scott Krotzer, the board has to be consistent with these window requirements.
All right. Do we have any other questions of the petitioner?
I think the challenge here is that the request is to replace all of them when, you know, we've got a lot more photos of them, and from the photos, it's very obvious that they're in a wide spectrum of conditions. So, I mean, there's obviously some that do need to be replaced, and we can see that they are probably beyond salvageable or what is feasible to replace. But there's a lot of them in here that are very clearly, repairable without needing to be completely ripped out. So I think the struggle on our end is that, you know, it's not a request for replacement of four and repairing the rest, it's that kind of they're all getting lumped into a single thing. So I think it would be really helpful on our end if we had, you know, these were the request was appropriate for the condition of the actual individual window rather than a blanket request for the entire structure.
So how can you tell the condition? Have you all been on site to look at the windows? Or we just, you know, I think in this situation, you need to get your hands on the window and take a look at them for y'all, for yourself. Cause the pictures are not doing justice. They're pretty shot. And I don't know if you've had experience replacing them. I mean, you're talking, I don't know, 20 layers of paint on the sashes. That, you know, you start cleaning it up, you could be looking at splinters, cracks in the paint. So we're just going to put a Band-Aid on windows. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, he's just trying to bring it back to life and bring it to where it was. And frankly, make it a livable space.
You can do inventory.
This is Pam Miller. I think we're just again saying, as Courtney said, that we, from looking at them, and I'm not an architect. I'm not a designer. I am a realtor. And I've seen windows that appear like this that are salvageable. I mean, it takes effort. It takes work. Yes, for sure. But like Scott said, cost is not a factor in our consideration. It's really retaining the historic design of the house and the historic materials to the best of our ability. But again, we can see that some probably aren't salvageable, but there do appear to be quite a few that may be. So yeah, I personally have an issue doing a blanket approval.
Scott, would you like to make a motion?
Is there a way to meet on site and have y'all look at these with us, or how do you want us to proceed? Basically, we go into it as we're going to try to repair them, and if they're beyond repair, we submit it for replacement.
Staff, is that something we do, or?
I mean, that's something not typically that the board members would do, but, staff could. We were trying to coordinate a time, but we were not able to make it work to go on site to see them. But unfortunately, I can't show a video because I don't have a way to do that on the Agenda Plus. But the homeowner did send a video of them. I think, though, the point is, regardless of it, is that it sounds like they could keep sending more pictures and more pictures, but it sounds like no matter what, there might be something a little more specific needed, whether that's on site. I guess. Yeah, because if the owner wanted to invite an observation time, like y'all would have to make sure you didn't have a quorum, because anytime any of the board members are together in five or more, it's a quorum. But that would be up to the owner.
So can I get a motion?
This to me feels like the petition needs to be broken down into which are the windows that obviously have to be replaced. And then as construction, you know, you're starting, I don't know. I mean, I just, there's no way I think to lump these all together. So I think continued to where there's a request for ones that absolutely have to be replaced. You know, some sort of great, like, I just don't see how it's.
So with me just being, I mean, it's, yeah, it's our company's name on the line. So, I mean, as me as a contractor, I feel these windows, you know, should be replaced and not repaired, you know, because again, I'm the one who's going to be liable for it, not you. I want to do it right by the homeowner. Or what, as far as how can we get this process approved so that we can get work started on this guy's property?
This is Pat Richardson.
Yes.
Is there So what I'm sensing from you is like just no compromise whatsoever.
I mean,
I'm not saying that all the windows need to be preserved, but can you just go and make a good, good effort forward and try to see if there's like maybe just 4, 3, 2, 1 window that can be preserved?
Kathy Levine,
right now.
I mean, I'm sure we can definitely preserve. I know there's a couple we can probably want to fix. You know, but if you're changing 90% of them, and they're going to be a slight off, they're going to look a little different, the newer ones from the older ones.
Kathy Levina, I work, again, in rehabilitation construction, and I've done several windows. And typically what we do is put an inventory of the window conditions together. So of your 14 windows, you put an inventory of the conditions and what are needed. According to the Secretary of Interior standards, you want to repair versus replace. And that is what the commission here goes by. Most specifically, the windows in the primary facades you want to concentrate on. So if there are windows on your secondary facade, say a sash that can be repaired, bring that over if it fits, obviously, to the primary facades. So it does take more time. It takes more effort. It takes more money. But that's what we do here to preserve the historic character of our neighborhoods.
Okay. So yeah. All right. We're willing to, I mean, me as a company, I'm willing to, I just don't know what the homeowner is going to agree to, but I'll just tell them we have to go into this as a repair all as many windows as we possibly can. And if we come across one that is beyond repair, we'll present it as a replacement.
So continue. Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Exterior Pros Beth Barrows 25-002814-COA to allow the applicant to come up with a condition list of each of the 14 windows in accordance with the Secretary of Interior standards to repair rather than replace. And, oh, you want him to work with staff?
This is coming back, if it's coming back to you all, I mean, we can continue the conversation, but I mean, if you want like an inventory or something, I would specifically say that.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what I meant by staff is just some guidance as to what we would need on each window.
So a continuance with inventory created with guidance from staff on the condition of the 14 windows and which ones must be replaced, focusing on the ones on the main facade.
This is Pam Miller, I second.
Having a motion properly seconded, let's go to vote. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Katrina Horning, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Dunfrieck, approve. Motion carries. Okay, Caitlin, we've got the stamp drawings and inspections completed. Do we need to do anything with that?
It's just an acknowledgement. And then we do have an other business that I will turn it over to Jessica Baldwin with the city to present about the Savannah Powder Magazine local designation.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, y'all. I'm going to be fast because.
Please give your name.
My name is Jessica Baldwin, the City of Savannah Preservation Officer. So the Powder Magazine was constructed in 1898. It's on what was the western portion of the Verthin Tithing Farm Lot number 5 by the City of Savannah. At its time of construction, the Powder Magazine was part of a broader building initiative to create public works aimed at improving the quality of life and promoting the safety of Savannah citizens. In 2018, the City of Savannah received a National Trust for Historic Preservation Intervention Fund grant, which allowed for the Building Conditions Assessment and Restoration Plan. In 2025, February of 2025, the Powder Magazine was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The Powder Magazine is a symmetrical T-shaped plan consisting of a smaller room on the north and a larger octagonal room on the south. The brick Gothic Revival building is a one-story in height and topped with its original crenellated and corbelled parapet. The Savannah Powder Magazine retains a high degree of integrity and of location design, materials, and workmanship. And it may possibly be the only extant Powder Magazine in Georgia. So with that, we are requesting that it be the first historic property, local property designation. With that includes a text amendment, which kind of has updated kind of where we've left space for that within our NUSA. That basically walks through what the designation looks like, how it's named, what those, how the regulations stand. We have applied a series of design standards that currently are kind of are large overarching and are taken from the Secretary of Interior standards for preservation. So we've taken those and we are, this will allow us flexibility as we look at new potential landmarks that represent other parts of the city as well, and allows us to adjust per landmark kind of similarly to how we do conservation districts. It will also update the map amendment. There'll be a map amendment that gets updated as well. And you'll notice that in the design in the standards, we are noting that new construction will not be required for a certificate of appropriateness for this particular project. That may change in the future for other projects. This project is the only property, it's the only structure on the property. And so anything that we, that the City of Savannah plans to do in terms of restoration or rehabilitation to the building will need a certificate of appropriateness and be reviewed by you all. So in conclusion, this project allows the city to, continue along with our strategic goals and our strategic plan and identifying that we are a world-class livable city and be strengthening our existing initiatives to restore historic sites that are and further promote Savannah's cultural history.
Thank you, Jessica. Where is this?
It's exciting. It's out on Ogeechee Road by Chatham Parkway. Okay. There's like a lumber liquidators, and it's like in a grassy kind of tree area over there.
It's just privately owned, or is the city
owned? The city owns the property.
Do they have any plans currently or conceptual?
There may be plans, yes, ma'am.
So people can't visit it right now, right?
I mean, you definitely can. It is out there, but it is locked up and secured at this time.
The photos that you're showing, are those actually the powder keg rings on the floor?
Yes, as part of the report that they did, those were where they sat there for storage so long. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting, right? It feels
very
good.
Thank you so much for coming and presenting. With that, I think we're going to go ahead and adjourn today. Thank you.